Good morning, and easy fast to everybody. So wanted to learn with you a little bit about Slichos. Today is a course on Tefillah, so we're going to learn a little bit about Slichos for the day. And, so if you open up the Art Scroll to Art Scroll Ashkenaz version for 8:16, we'll see if we can find the page numbers for everybody else in a different point. So it's important to understand that Slichos, like everything else in the Siddur, follow a certain pattern. And just like that, it follows a pattern, there's different formats. Reb Soloveitchik, basing himself on a Levush, said famously that Slichos are the tefillah service of Tshuva. Now, generally, this refers to the Slichos of Elul / Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and all the different minhagim that emerge around Slichos over there. But all of them, Ashkenazi and Sephardic, follow a very, very specific pattern. Much like the pattern of a tefillah. Every Slichos service from Elul starts with Ashrei, followed by Chatzi Kaddish. That sounds familiar, right? Much like Musaf, much like Mincha, right? So we have Ashrei, Chatzi Kaddish. If we remember a piece from Rav Shechter, Shlita, that we spoke about in from Dr. Weissman's book on Rav Shechter on Shulchan Aruch, where he talks about in the Siman about switching your tefillin off for Rosh Chodesh. So the Chatzi Kaddish is the Kaddish that unifies all of the people together as a tzibur. That Amira's Chatzi Kaddish is that which brings everybody together as the beginning of a formal communal tefillah experience. So that's the Chatzi Kaddish, which then follows in to a pattern of Kel Melch Yoshev, or Kel Erech HaPayim. There's a paragraph, we'll see that on page 8:16, is always that in the Nesach Ashkenaz, the first introduction to the Yud Gimel Midos, followed by the Yud Gimel Midos, and sometimes the rest of the order of Slichos then is we respond Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, that the Psukim recount how when Moshe Rabbeinu used these Yud Gimel Midos that Hashem said, I've forgiven you like you had asked. Because part of the Yud Gimel Midos is that we have a bris, as you see in the laning, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a bris of tshuva, that these Yud Gimel Midos are not going to go unanswered. So therefore, we say, Hinei Anochi Koreis Bris, I'm creating this bris with you, and the Yud Gimel Midos will not go unanswered. Then from there we follow into a piyut, some type of liturgical poem dealing with, in the case of Slichos, of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, dealing with themes of tshuva. And in Atinus, the themes of the day. Then a little bit of a bakasha into another, more tefillah based on what we just davened for. And then we'll go and do another Kel Melech, then Yud Gimel Midos, then another Piyut, and then typically we'll go to what we call a Pizmon, which is a specific type of Piyut, which we'll talk about later. After that, then we shift back to a lot of what a typical Tachanun would look like. Well, I'm sorry. First, we'll open the Aron and say Shema Kolenu, And then we'll get into a typical Tachanun. We'll have Vidui, followed by Nefilas Apayim, and the paragraphs of Nefilas Apayim. And the Bakashas from the Gaonim, which are the repetitive phrases of a lot of this. From the Gaonim, maybe even from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Soloveitchik says that it could be this type of pattern was used in the type of the Beis HaMikdash, and then a Kaddish Shalom. And that's your typical format for Slichos of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Simon in a shir from the Upper West Side of Vorhand Shtibel Shirim. So he gave a shir last Shivasa Batamas, where he explained that the old minug was that these tefillos were called slichos because they were inserted in the middle of a slachlanu, embellishing on the themes of the day during the Shemoneh Esrei. We see a little bit of that when we daven on Yom Kippur. You see a similar phenomenon where we will daven we will say slichos in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei as well. So, we turn to page 8. 8:16, we are going to explore the slichos a little bit together, and have a sense of what it was that we said, what we say, what you will say, maybe what you did say, to get a sense of what's the purpose of the slichos specifically for today. The slichos that we're davening have a very, very different flavor to them. It's not the same as the slichos that we would say on Shivasa Batamos, Asar Batavis, Tzom Gedalia. Those Tanios, the Tanios of the Churban, we talk about the tragedies that took place on the day. Our Slichos that we speak about today, we tell the story of Purim and how that there's such a strong force of Tefillah. Tefillah and Purim are very, very interconnected, such that there's a tradition, I believe it's from the Arizal, that we know that the Halacha is on Purim that a person should give anyone who stretches out their hand. And the Arizal said that this also applies to Tefillah. That when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we also, that there's a specific nature of our Tefillah on Purim of Kol HaPoshet Yad. That we're sticking out our hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking Him, and Kiviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up in the world the Shulchan Aruch, the din, that person that sticks out their hand, they should be given. So this applies as well. This is a theme which is felt pervasive throughout Purim. And as well, if you read the end of the Megillah, when the holiday of Purim is set up, we're supposed to talk about the fasts and the tefillah that happened as well, that started this entire salvation of Purim. It's the tefillos of the Jewish people. Esther Amalka says, Lech Knosis Kol Yehudim Asher B'Shushan Habira, go and gather together all the Jews in Shushan Habira, bring them all together, and they should fast for me. And that Megillah specifically singles out that we should write about the fasts and the Tzomos Tzakos, that the tefillah and the crying out and the fast as part of the integral part of the Purim story, that tells us that these are days that are incredibly special for Tefillah. So we begin on page 8:16. We have the introduction to Slichos and the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim were revealed. We read about them in the laning this morning. They were revealed in Parshas Kisisa, because Baruch Hu says when the Jewish people sin and they need to do tshuva, they should say these tefillos. Some Mefarshim explains, the Ramak especially, you should embody these tefillah, embody these Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. But daven, change yourself, and the gezeira will be averted. The decree will be averted. The sin will be forgiven. And of course, it's very much connected to Moshe Rabbeinu's request that I want to see Hashem, I want to see your kavod, I want to see your honor. Show me. And Hashem says, this is what I'm going to reveal to you. You give me a sarachim, and this is how I run the world, that there's a concept of second chances. So on page 816, this is how we start. Hashem, forgive us. We've erred. Clear us away. Forgive us. Because our sins are great. You're slow to anger. You are called the master of mercy. And you showed us a way to do tshuva. Derech tshuva horesa. You showed us a way. The Rambam says, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a teacher? We see Hashem in lots of different modalities. He reveals himself to us. The entire tefillah of Adam is Miros, is all about these different ways that Hashem presents himself to us. We don't know his essence, but we know different ways that he presents himself to us. Derech tshuva horesa, you showed us a way to do tshuva. Jumping down a couple of lines, we will take refuge under your wings, like the day that Hashem descended in a cloud, and we ask you to avur al pesha v'timchei asham, forgive negligent sin, and remove our blame and our shame, ki yom v'yitziatzev imosham, like the day that you stood there. Tazin Shavosenu, listen to our call, Takshiv Menu Mamar, and hearken to what we're saying, listen to our declaration, like the day when Hashem called out, and there in the Pasuk it says, Hashem passed before Moshe, and he said, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim Rav Chesed V'emes, Notze Chesed L'Alafim, Notze Avim V'feshe V'chatovin Akeh. These Yudgimu Midos HaRachimim. The 13 Midos HaRachamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience. He plays the long game. He believes in us so much to give us second chances. So we daven Hashem, please invoke this way of interacting with us, that give us the second chance. Let us change. Give us the space to change. Avert our, avert our fate and help us. Help us to change. Help us to open the door for us. So then, on page 818, we go to the paragraph that says, Kavo kivinu el Hashem. Hashem, we hope to you. Vayed aleinu v'yishmash avaseinu. And you turned to us, and you heard our cry. Even orach mishpatecha kivinucha l'shimcha zichucha tavas nefesh. Even when we're on the path of judgment, still, even Hashem, we're midas adin, we're hoping for you. So now we skip to page 854. In the art scroll, Ashkenaz Siddur. There are three piyutim, there are three slichos, that we say on Tanis Esther in the Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard and Nusach Ari write. So if you look, Adam Bakum Aleinu, the period of when a man rose up against us, well, fear and trembling seized us, and he flattered Achashverosh, and they just decided to sell us. Now, this is all of the slichos are written in a poetic style, and they reflect Midrashim, Psukim. There's so much in each one of the slichos, especially the ones that are written by HaKalir, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. This one, according to the art school, was written by Menachem ben Machir, who wrote the Hoshana for Shabbos, a special Hoshana for Shabbos. That's important to know, because the Hoshana for Shabbos, it when we walk around the Mizbeach on Hoshana Rabbah and we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hoshana, please save us. Each one is a tefillah. It's in memory of how the Hoshanas were recited in Beis HaMikdash. And in Beis HaMikdash, we didn't go around. We didn't walk around with the Hadassim branches. Sorry, the Arava branches on Shabbos. Even though for 6 days we would encircle the Mizbeach, the seventh day we would go around seven times. One of them we wouldn't go around because of not on Shabbos. So the custom in Ashkenazi communities is to say this piyut, this tefillah, about in the merit of Shabbos, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should hoshana, should save us. And it goes through all the different aspects of Shabbos. It's a beautiful tefillah. So there's so many different pieces. So number one, the fact that it's called Adam is a reference to the introduction to the Megillah that Haman is called Adam that sought to swallow us. If you see in the third line of it, it says that they decide to sell us as if we were a hill or a ditch. As a reference to the Gemara that says that that Haman and Achashverosh conspired together, saying, "Oh, I have a hill and you have a ditch. Let's take care of this." Meaning, we both have fields. We both have a problem. It's called the Jews, and it's like saying, "Oh, you know, I have a hill, you have a ditch. I don't like the Jews. You want to kill the Jews? So fine. We both of us let our problem be solved." Amru lechu v'nichidam migoy lo yizacher Shem Yisrael od. Let's destroy them so that you won't say that the name of Yisrael will not be mentioned once again. This was their plan. Clearly, also the Baal Haslicha implicates Achashverosh. We know that the Gemara says we're not sure whether or not Achashverosh was evil, or was he evil and shrewd, or was he a tipesh, was he stupid. The Megillah is written in an ambiguous type of way. When you're a little kid, they make it sound like he's a goofball. Later, you know, we can see that maybe he also is a politician. He's shrewd. He can't show his hatred, but at the opportune moment. So, jumping down to the fourth line, and you see that the pattern of the poem is that every fourth line is a pasuk, is a reference to a pasuk, and the lead up to it is describing part of what the action was going to be. Vayomru lo yirecha v'lo yavin elokei Yaakov. They're saying that God won't see us, God will not understand. Again, a reference to the Midrash that says, and it says, Yeshno am echa, when Haman begins his speech to try to have the Jewish people destroyed, he says, there is a certain nation, right? And part of the discussion with Zachariah says, I don't want any part of this. You know, the Jews historically, their God comes and stands for them. And Haman says, no, don't worry. Yeshno. There is they had a God, but he's old. And he's sleeping. The Jews are in exile. They've been in exile already for two generations of kings, because Nebuchadnezzar and the Belshazzar, both kings, Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish people, and then he died, and Belshazzar took over, and then he died. You're already the third generation. We're already 70 years in. God is not answering them. You don't have to worry about this. However, so even though that the Jewish people were inflicted zruim ina v'yegev v'lo milev v'chalosam, so it says he afflicted and aggravated the scattered people, but had not the heart to destroy them, They sinned on the surface. He chastised them through the removal of Achashverosh's signet ring to terrify them. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by allowing the signet ring, by allowing Achashverosh to give the ring to Haman, it terrified them. This is also a reference to the Gemara that said that there were all these prophets and prophetesses amongst the Jewish people. But what made them do tshuva the fastest was the giving of this ring from Achashverosh to Haman. But the good one maintained his word to elevate them in the sight of the nations. But Hashem maintained his promise that I will not despise them, to abhor them, to destroy them in the land of their enemies. There's a pasuk from the end of the Tochacha in Vayikra, in Bechukosai, that even Afkam Zos B'yosam Be'aretz Lo Lahem, even though that they are in a land that is not theirs, I will not despise them, and they will not be so disgusting to me. This is a promise, and this is part of the rem. A rem is a hint. The Gemara quotes earlier that this is what the meaning of that pasuk is. That even though they're in a far off land, Purim is a holiday that takes place. The action, the miracle took place away from Yerushalayim, away from that Eretz Yisrael. And even though in that land, even then, even if you think that I'm so far from you, even if it's a hastara betocha hastara, right? As the Gemara tells us that Esther is a hint to the phrase astir aspanai. I will surely hide my face from you. That's this demonstration, being in a faraway land, and then not only that, being feeling like everyone's going to be killed off, is a double astara, a double concealment. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even then I will not forget you. Even then I will not allow you to be destroyed. So then it says, Yida remas karos la'am meupar mehadas. In the same way that the Torah alluded to this experience, Ksiv hastir astir umar dror mefurdas, that Hashem writes, I will surely hide my face, and more dror, this type of nor, this fragrance, this spice, that Mordechai is a hint to. So it's funny because this piyut is then hinting to the Gemara, and it's saying Yida remes. We know that we know the remes that is written in the Torah, and it's making mention. It's even remes to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Where's the remes for Mordechai and Esther?" And here he's saying, "Look." And it's hinting to this Gemara that we know that that Esther and Mordechai already written in the Torah. Lishpot hama mimochrat hamin ha'etz kundas. So these two, the hastir astir and the more dror, which are written about in the Torah, are going to get rid of the one upon whom it is written also in the Torah, hamin ha'etz. Did you eat from the tree? Which is the Gemara's reference to Haman, where he says, "Oh, did you eat from the tree?" is a reference to Haman. So these three psukim are the hints for Mordechai, Esther, and Haman in the Torah, according to the Gemara in Chulin. And what it's saying is that, you know, now we're quoting this Gemara. It's incredibly meta piyut, because it says, well, we all know the remez, which is written in the Torah, making reference to the Gemara. That Haman will be destroyed in the morrow, and then the pasuk that the Gemara Megillah quotes said that talks about this is an introduction to the Megillah, as one of the Amoraim give their introductions in the beginning of Maseches Megillah. There's a number of psukim which are quoted as the introductions, as a psichus, as they're called in Midrashic literature. How do I open a discussion on it? Well, these are the psukim. It's a pasuk that we're going to read later today in the Haftorah, which says, "Tachas hana'atzutz yale verosh, tachas atzirpad yale hadas." The article translated, instead of the thorn, the cypress will rise. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will rise. Meaning, and you see in the brackets over here in the article, instead of the thorn, Haman, Mordechai will rise. Instead of the nettle, Vashti, the myrtle will rise. The sirpad is a nettle, is a spiky, not so great plant, versus the myrtle Hadassim, which are fragrant and beautiful. And of course we know Esther's real name was Hadassah, as the Megillah tells us. So then it says, Machshiv davar sheker kasava sitna ve'etzev. He has, Achashverosh wrote this horrible decree. Nisatev bigde srad ketab minyan ketzev. Making reference to the Gemara that says that Achashverosh made a mistake in calculating the 70 years that the Jews would return to Israel, and in fact botched it up. But he put on the bigde kahuna to celebrate that the Jews were not going back, which was enough to anger Kadosh Baruch Hu enough to start this entire plan to set the Jews free. Sadalish Tamesh Beshonimik Kli Hamachatzev, and he put out the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, Vayavogam HaSatan Besocham Lisyatzev. And the Satan came to dance at this party. It's also a reference to part of why the Gemara says, what did the Jews do wrong to incur this punishment? There's a decree, and it says because they went to this party, the party celebrating the downfall of the Jewish people. And in this party, this is a party where they use the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, again, saying the Jews are not going home, you don't have to worry about them. The period continues based on the same idea. Amanim sarim b'shusha ba'ochlam izevach ochram, par piv lehissidnam lasgiram b'yad nosim michram. So the people who went to the party in Shushan ate from this feast, the one who hated them. So Satan opened his mouth to come and deliver them to one who paid for them, meaning that this was the sin that they were, quote, sold for. Tzur hiskim l'chtov higeres la'avdol al shivram, that the rock, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu, agreed to write this letter to destroy the broken leftover pieces. Amarte apehem eshpisa me'enor zichram. Quotes a pasuk from Hazinu that I said, I will annihilate them, I'll bring an end to their memory amongst mankind. However, kedoshim malchi asharis mar yivchum v'tzaka, the malachim cried out in David, rachum habet lebrit v'atefer l'achika. Look to the covenant that you made with him. Shama morash of etilbash bigdei almonos umuuka. The Torah took off its clothing and wore sackcloth. Vatasam yadal rosha v'telech haluch v'zaka. And it went forth with his hand on his head crying. Tishbi sam ezur sach b'mosnav tachvoshes mihir v'hode yishenim mechpao avos shloshes na nachatz roe malacha nirdam lihisashes kum kray elokim ulay yisyashes. So now that the pew turns to talk about how both the Torah and the Avos and Moshe Benu began to daven for the Jewish people when this decree was signed. Turn the page to 856. So the Chotam Tira Sher Nasa Belivash Sefer. So Eliyahu told Mordechai that while there is the decree, it's sealed only with clay. And we learn from Nineveh that if he wants to abolish the decree, you can daven. That's what we learn from the story of Yonah, that you can daven to nullify such a decree. So Ben Kish he kished also be sefer v'yachol sach v'yeshav al ha'efer. Ben Kish he kished. So Mordechai, his genealogy is from Kish, from Shaul. As you might remember, this is an old fight of the house of Shaul versus the house of Amalek, which we read about in the Haftorah of Parsha Zachar. So he was called from Kish, but also the Gemara darshans that Hikish, that he pounded on the doors of Shemayim. So here the Python takes it and says he pounds on the doors of the school to get everybody together and to learn and daven to save the Jewish people. Ribitz Tinokas the fun of Yamishloshet Smeim Chupanim. He got them together and they fasted for 3 days. But Kol Yaakov Lachlosh Al Yedei Az Panim, that the voice of Jacob the voice of Yaakov of Torah and Tefillah should weaken the hands of Azpanim, the hands of the Brazen One, which is, of course, a reference to, again, the Gemara, when the voice is the voice of Yaakov, the hands of the hands of Esav have no strength, which is a midrash on the Pasuk, that when Yitzchak feels Yaakov and feels Yaakov's hands, they're covered with sheepskin, says, oh, the hands are the hands of Esav, but the voice is the voice of Yaakov. The midrash says that the voice of Tefillah, Torah and Tefillah, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. It can abet the power of the hands of Esav. Yadav emuna lakel hatzilenu me'elbonim. And his hands were raised up to say, save us from this disgrace. Penya bova keni al emobanim, lest he smite the mother on the children. Lest he smite the mother on the children. So we have again a mashing up of two psukim. The hands are emuna. Hands emuna make reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's first battle with Amalek, that his hands were raised up into heaven, and Aaron and Hur kept them up. And so long as the hands were up, they would fight and win against the Malik. So, Yadav Emuna, his hands were Emuna. What does it mean, his hands were Emuna? Says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, do Moshe Rabbeinu's hands fight a war? No. Any time that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were raised, they looked towards their Father in heaven. The Pasuk says, oh, when Moshe's hands were up, the Jews would win, and when the hands were down, they would lose. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands fight a war? No, his hands don't fight a war. Really what happens is that the Jewish people would see his hands up. They remember Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avim Sheva Shemaim, their father in heaven, and they would remember to keep that front forwards in their mind and be able to win. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Amun and Kadosh Baruch Hu would allow them to win in this combat. But, and then the last part of this line, again, page 856, the second paragraph, lest he come and kill me, mother mother over her children, is part of Yaakov's tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, being afraid that Esav is going to kill him or strike him, and he uses the expression aim al banim, like a mother with children. Mize'ela, v'nei esanai v'rabanai, kulam tza'akuva talsha v'samel Hashem, ka l'kol rinun kavo sha'al l'fanai, u'mekol atzon hazeh be'oznai. So, the tefillah is ascended to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem asked in his chamber, what is this sound of the sound of sheep in my ear? Again, this is a double play on language, because on one hand, it sounds like the sound of the Jewish people davening, and the Jewish people davening, kivyachol, wake up HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we say, that the entire plot turns. Balayla hahu nadadash nasa melech. That night, the king's sleep was disturbed. Well, on one level, it speaks that Achashverosh couldn't sleep, and he had them read from his Sefer Zichronos, his book of recollections, his book of memories of the kingdom, to try to put him to sleep, or the Midrash says to look for to see who's mad at him because he feels like something's going off and he wants to go see it, try to make it right. But also it refers to that this is the Melech Sha'olam, that this specifically is speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu cast aside his Hester Panim at that moment and began to make things turn the other way for Haman. The king's sleep was disturbed. But the double entendre is that this is also the language that Shmuel uses to castigate Shaul when Shaul does not kill off all of Amalek and he leaves their animals alive, and which was not what he was supposed to do. And then Shmuel says, but what's this noise? Meaning he's giving him an opportunity to do tshuva, which unfortunately Shaul did not ultimately take and loses the kingdom as a result of that. And that's part of what gives birth to this current conflict, because this idea of Shaul and Agag, king of Amalek, then find a new expression in the war of the war of Mordechai versus Haman, because they're both descendants. Mordechai is a descendant of Shaul, and Agag is a descendant of Haman. Roa Heshiva Hem Ketane Kodesh Zera Ka Hatzel Lukuche Lamaves Maoyev Hara Chanuna Nim Karnu Rachuma Vevakesh Livchos Hameora Vekura Hamel Chisrael Es Sefer Vayikra. So then Mordechai said to them, I got together all the little children who are davening and learning for you. Hashem, please listen to their cry. If not for the adults who might have sinned, the children did not. So please save them. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness was aroused, and he sought to cry over the matter. So then the pasuk ends. So then, when the king of Israel read the document, he tore it up. This is also a remez to I believe it was Tzidkiyahu, who when Yirmiyahu showed him the book of Echad, telling the foretend of the destruction of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the exile of the Jewish people. Either it was a proto Echa or it was Echa itself. He read it and tore it up. So here, Kadosh Baruch, that's a pasuk that he quotes at the end of this verse. But as well, the Paitan uses this pasuk in that same way, that he tears up the decree. And maybe you can also say that because this is the end of the exile of Babylonian Persia, that Kadosh Baruch Hu tears up Echa kiviyachol. He tears up this sad poem, this sad decree, and says that this will be the end of this exile no longer. He tears it up. Yehudi hokia yelad del mata avihem lemala ish b'shlosh amos v'revis ever megula. Mishnah Nakam Chazav Asamach Sach Tehila Osi Heshiv Al Keni V'Osotala. So then it says that the Jew hung Haman's sons below their father. Each man took up 3 cubits, with the 4th cubit left open. Viceroy Mordechai saw the vengeance, uttered praise. He restored me to my post, and him he hanged. Osi Heshiv Al Keni V'Osotala. That here we see in the aftermath of the war that took place after the Jews were given rights to defend themselves, that Haman and his sons who came to who were coming to come kill all the Jews, they were able to kill them, to stop them, and they were all hung up on a tree, hung up on that same tree that they wanted to hang Mordechai on. And the quote of the pasuk is when the Sahamashkim, the cupbearer, the steward in Paro's house, tells about the story of Yosef to Paro, and he says, ultimately, you saved me, you took me out of the dungeon, and him was hanged, and the and the baker was hanged. But at the same time, this means that Mordechai was taken out from his disgrace and had the death this potential death sentence on him and hanged Haman instead. If you want to read a little deeper and see a cute remez, maybe this is also part of the idea of baking Haman tashen, right? Because we're eating Haman's ears or whatever, or Haman's pockets. Haman's ears in Hebrew and Haman's pockets in Yiddish. Ozne Haman or Haman Tashin, the pockets of Haman. So in this pasuk, Mordechai is Hamashkim, right? And think about our custom of saying L'chaim on Purim, and Haman is the baker, and who becomes a pastry, and who serves us wine. I give all the little remez over there. And Esther writes this entire story should be read like hallel, like praise, and praise and thanksgiving. Now, if you think about it, this is a reference to the Gemara Megillah that talks about how the reading of the Megillah is itself hallel. Milamala kimu masha kiblu mata dodim, and above in Shemayim they said that this would become a mitzvah, right? That what was written below then became what above. Also, this speaks to the level of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration, as Esther being Megillas Esther being one of the last books of Ruach HaKodesh that's included in the books of Tanakh. Nes Yinoses Lefarsem Ka'az Pilo Masidim. Hashem made a miracle to lift us up and to publicize from before the miracles that we testify about, that we speak of. Be'es Hazos, at this time, Revach V'Atzala, at this time, there was a great salvation that stood for the Jews. Revach v'yatzala yamod la'yehudim. This is the cry, the revach v'yatzala, that relief and deliverance, revach v'yatzala, will come to the Jews, which is also spoken about. Mordechai says this to Esther. If you stand at this, you have to stand at this time, because Revach V'Yatzala Yamod L'Yehudim, the Jewish people will be saved. They will be relieved from this distress, and will be rescued from this. And the parenthesis is, and if you don't act, you and your father's house will be lost regardless. But the Jews will be saved even without your help. Revach V'Yatzala Yamod L'Yehudim. Now, also, there's a minhag by in the Sephardic Kaddish that part in Yehei Shlomo Rabba, right? They also add Revach V'Yatzala Lanu, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu should give us relief and deliverance. And Sephardic custom is that everyone says that they're Revach V'Yatzala Lanu. So that you say Revach V'Yatzala Yamod L'Yehudim, and right now. So this is the end of the period. Ravach v'yatzala yamod l'yehudim, that salvation will stand for the Yehudim, which is also a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show us relief as well. Okay, we will hold up here. There are another two piyutim to go through. Each one is really unbelievable, because each one of these slichos is not talking about sorrows that happen, but talking about how this is a time to daven, and we saw miracles then, and we hope to see miracles this now. It should be the davening of today, and on Purim that we do, we should see great miracles for the Jewish people, great v'nafochu is what we're davening for the situation for Jews worldwide, and especially. Especially in Eretz Yisrael, should see a tremendous v'nafochu as everybody comes home, mitz Hashem. The soldiers should come home safely, mitz Hashem. The hostages, never far from our minds. We should see them come home soon.